Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Hope Layton interviewing Henry Posner Jr., July 23, 1994. Mr. Posner, interviewing also with Ruth Adelson. Mr. Posner, would you please tell us your address?
My address is 1071 Lyndhurst Drive, Pittsburgh, 15206.
So you can reach it in any way?
Yeah.
We want this here.
Okay.
Where's the speaker input?
Right here.
On
this? Right here.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. All right, now you've got it running, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mr. Posner, could you tell us something about your immediate family, your parents, your mother, your father, and your siblings?
I have no siblings. I'm an only child. My father was Henry Posner, Sr., and my mother was Ida Meltzer Posner. My father came from Warsaw, and his mother was Fanny, was widowed early in my father's life. She had been married to Roman Posner, occupation unknown. My father's mother was headmistress of a Jewish girls' parochial school in Warsaw, and was believed to have been very well known. She had three children. George was the oldest, and he was killed in one of the innumerable wars between the Russians and the Poles. And so when the next war came along, the other two children, Max, who was the second oldest, and my father, Henry, were sent off to Switzerland. At the end of that war, Max returned to Warsaw, where he did not marry, but spent most of his life looking after his mother. My father never returned to Poland, but took a boat for the United States, where he landed in Boston and worked on the docks as a coal loader. Eventually migrated to Baltimore, where he became at various times a census taker and a teacher of English to immigrants. At the same time, he became a surveyor and surveyed the Western Cumberland and Western Maryland Railroad, surveyed its route to Pittsburgh. So at the end of that survey, he was unemployed and began to take courses at what was then the Carnegie Institute of Technology.
How old would he have been?
I have records here which would place his birth sometime around 1890. I have more exact dates here in my files.
So when he moved to Pittsburgh, he would be how old?
Well, he must have been in his 20s because my mother were married when my father was 29. Married at the Rebbe Shalom Temple. Rabbi Goldens. He, by that time, had acquired some grafting skills, and before he was able to graduate, he ran out of money, and so he started a business making show cards for merchants in East Liberty, and rented a garage and office facility at 301 Spar Street, S-P-A-R, and operated out of that building at the time that I was born.
May I ask you, was it the surveying work that brought him to Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay.
So that my father was a very good salesman, and I gave a dedication address at the Carnegie Mellon University. If you're interested, I could get you a copy of what I had to say at that time, which will briefly summarize his
That would be wonderful.
Business career.
We'd like to have that very much.
Okay, you'll have to make a note and remind me
I'm
of
gonna make
all
a
these
note.
Promises. So
I'll make a note right now.
Overlook it. We, at that time, were living on Jancy Street. In the Highland Park area, and we lived a number of different residences at the time. We moved from there to South Atlantic Avenue, and then to Mercer Street, and then to 2762 Beechwood Boulevard, Squirrel Hill. And in 1937 moved to Pasadena Drive in Fox Chapel, where my parents lived until my father died in 1984. In 1976. My mother, we believe, was born in Cleveland, although there was some suspicion that she was born in Russia and brought to this country as a small child. She had her mother who I knew as Mima was salesman, and there's a very extensive history of the salesmans who came from, I believe, from Annex or Annixter in Latvia, and husband was, I believe, a pawnbroker in Cleveland. How the family migrated to Pittsburgh, I'm not quite sure. But there were, my mother had a number of siblings. There were three boys. The oldest was Sam, who was an ambulance driver with the United States Army in the First World War and was killed in Europe. Paul, who died sometime in the 1920s or early 1930s of lung problems resulting from having gassed during the First World War. And Saul, who was the youngest in the family, who was in the oil business with his in-laws, the Levinsons, mostly in Philadelphia, Reading, Allentown area. I believe the company was called Merritt Oil Company. And an older sister, Rose, who was married to a Newcastle dentist by the name of 15 and was divorced from him and married a man named Al Levin, who they lived in New York City for some time. After Al died, Rose went to Los Angeles, where she worked for MGM in the historical costume design, and did a lot of work with Gone with the Wind and some of the other very well-known films.
What was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Ida, Edith Meltzer. But the Meltzers were related to the Selznicks, and there were a number of Selznicks here in Pittsburgh. Milton, who is still alive and lives outside of Greensburg, and is an animal trainer, primarily horses. We had, well, their mother was Lil Lefkowitz. Her husband, and I don't remember, Kelly Lefkowitz, was a pharmacist on the north side. Lil had a number of children. Jerry, in addition to Milk, it was Jerry and Rhoda and Helen. And except for Lil, they all moved to Los Angeles. My mother, I don't understand how my mother's family got to Pittsburgh. And I never knew either my paternal or maternal or paternal grandfather, both dead before I was born. And let's see, I've kind of lost track here.
Could you tell us something about your home life as a child?
Well, I can remember waking in my crib.
Really?
When we lived on Jancy Street. And it must have been late in a winter's day, because when I woke, I remember seeing my mother with her back toward me over by the window, and she was working at a sewing machine. She always made all of her own clothes, and all of my clothes. And I can remember having a Christmas tree with a small electric train. Mm-hmm. And I remember that when it jumped the track, I thought it was broken, and I picked it up to take it back to the trash basket. So I have those kinds of recollections. We moved then to South Atlantic Avenue when I went to kindergarten at, I believe, the Fulton School. A dog, Spot, and a cat. I don't remember the cat's name.
But in the children's books? Or your dog was
called?
You had a dog called
Spot.
Yeah.
And my father had a chocolate brown Chandler automobile. And we used to, on Sundays, we would drive out to Ligonier just to go for a ride in the car. don't remember too much about the move to Mercer Street. We only lived there for, as I recall, 6 months. And while I was there, I attended some kind of a school, and I have no recollection of it at all. And then when we moved to Beachwood Boulevard, I went to Colfax. And at Colfax, mostly.
How old were you then?
Well, I must have been 10. And mostly I played hooky. So that my parents took me out of Colfax and sent me to Shadyside Academy, where I started in the second grade. I was a little, they put me back a year. Let's see, in the second grade, this doesn't compute, but in the second grade, I must have been 8 years old.
I was probably.
So I stayed in Shadyside throughout the next 11 years. And in 1937, the year that I graduated from Shadyside, my parents moved to Pasadena Drive in Fox Chapel.
Were there many Jewish children in Shadyside when you were there?
I think that I was the only Jewish student in my class at the Shadyside Junior School. After we got into the senior school, there were a class of 35, I think there were probably 5 or 6 of us who were Jewish. When I graduated from Shadyside, I went on to Princeton, and a number of my friends, Princeton was very popular with Shadyside at the time, and I think out of a class of 35, I think 8 of us went to Princeton, and of those, Irving Kaplan went to Princeton with me, and I think he was the only other Jewish student from Shadyside in my class who went to Princeton.
You mentioned having a Christmas tree when you were small.
Yes.
That was, I would say, that's probably not the usual thing at that time in our history.
It was just a tree.
It was just a tree.
Didn't make a difference to any of us, I think, whether it was Christmas or not. It just seemed like a nice time of year, and everybody had a tree, so we had a tree.
Did you hang up a stocking?
I don't remember that.
What was your religious orientation in your home? How did you observe holidays and things of that sort?
To the best of my recollection, we did not. There was never any question of being Jewish. My parents were married at the temple, but I never went to religious school. In fact, I never attended Jewish services until I think after I was out of Shadyside. In fact, until I was out of Princeton, I don't think I ever attended Jewish services.
And your parents didn't either?
No. So,
while you were at Shadyside, being Jewish and being a minority group didn't, how did that affect you in any way? Was it of any sort of problem to you?
At Shadyside, it was no problem to me at all. It was absolutely no distinction. I was just one out of a group of students. It did have some impact in the sense that I was a seven-day boarder at the senior school, lived out there for 6 years, and enjoyed it immensely. It wasn't until years later I realized that on the weekends, the non-Jewish students went off to parties to which I was not invited, but it certainly didn't bother me at the time. When I got to Princeton, it was a whole different ballgame. Again, I wasn't conscious of being treated any differently until the end of the sophomore year, when Princeton has had and has so-called eating clubs, which are similar to fraternities, but somewhat different. And so none of us in the class, although I was not conscious of it at the time, Princeton limited the Jewish students to 2% of an entering class, which, as I recall, was about 400 students. And there were, as I recall, 8 Jewish students. And none of the 8 of us were invited to join any club. And the result of that was that all of a sudden, all of our classmates disappeared at the end of the day. And there was this sudden void. And that was the first time that I really became conscious of any kind of discrimination. Also, there was an appointment, athletic appointment, that I wanted and worked for, and was told that I would be appointed. And the first news that I got that I had not been appointed, when it was published in the Daily Princetonian, that somebody else had been appointed. And needless to say, I was turned off. And to this day, my feelings about Princeton are greatly warped by the experience that I had, although our oldest son, Henry, went to Princeton and had absolutely no problem. And, Princeton is entirely different today from what it was before. In fact, the president of Princeton is named Harold Shapiro, and, which came as a source of astonishment to me. And as a result of that, a direct result of that, I did fund a center, did fund a reading room at the Center for Jewish Life at Princeton, which has been opened, I think, 2 years ago.
So things do change for the better.
Things do change. No, I think today Princeton is very open. I'm confident that there is absolutely no discrimination at all. But nevertheless, my feelings toward Princeton are very deep. It's difficult to overcome that resentment.
While you were at Shadyside, what about friends?
Oh, we were a very close-knit class, and as I say, there were only 35 of us in the graduating class, and we had spent 7 days a week together for 9 months out of the year, so that probably something between 25 and 30.
Oh, most of the boys boarded.
Most of the boys boarded.
So your parents didn't choose to move Shady to Fox Chapel until you were done?
They didn't move to Fox Chapel
until I was finished. You could have walked to school, okay. point.
Yes, could have. Uh-huh. Could have, but it was a very good move for me, and in hindsight, when I realize how much we miss our own children, I realize what a sacrifice it was for our parents. But it was a very important to me, and Shadyside as well. Very important.
What did you study at Princeton? What was your major?
I was a major in physical chemistry. And after I left Princeton, I had a number of research, chemical research jobs, all related to military. The first one was at Carnegie Tech, where we were doing research on developing a substitute for coconut char, which was used in gas masks. From there, I went out to Brewston, which is the outskirts of Pittsburgh near South Park, and worked at the Explosives Research Laboratory, where we developed a new fuel, solid fuel for military rockets. And then I went on to New York City, where I worked at Columbia University on the Manhattan Project. At the end of the war, I came out to Pittsburgh and went to graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh and took a master's degree in chemical engineering. And promptly thereafter, went into the billboard business with my father.
Could you tell us something about how your father went from making signs for businessmen to becoming a...
That's more detailed in the copy of this address that I gave at
okay.
the dedication ceremonies at the Carnegie Mellon. But very briefly, he expanded his business from doing show cards to making identification signs for merchants, primarily in the East Liberty area. And one day he was approached by two men from New York City who said they had heard that he was the best sign salesman in Western Pennsylvania and wanted him to take on the franchise for
stop.
While you do that, I'm going to go back to the washroom.
Huh? Okay.
Capacity is getting
more and more. There's coffee here.
Thank you.